And welcome back. We've got Lady Shadow with us. We've got your calls as well. Typically, Lady Shadow, people want spells for what? Relationships, jobs? What seems to be number one?
There's kind of the top seven, George. You know, everybody wants, financial stability, luck, health, to banish something negative.
Romance. They
love. Right, exactly. And on my website, soulsandspirits.com, I actually do make custom spell kits for people that want to perform them themselves. And actually, that's the best way to do it, is to perform your own spell, as long as you feel comfortable doing that. And we customize the spell for a special need, or you can buy your standard one of seven typical life moments spells, you know, to kind of improve that.
So if somebody came to you, though, and said, I want a curse, what would you do? You'd probably say no to them, right?
There's always a way to reverse what feels like a curse to someone through, again, the healing power of love. So, George, what I would do is, if someone said, I hate my boss and I want my boss gone and I can't stand her, get her out, get her fired, I would say, okay, we need to reverse all the thinking that is involved in hurting someone in order to improve your life. So what I would say is, what we're going to do is, we're going to do a spell to get your boss a better, more joyous opportunity for them, so that they can move either up in the chain or get a different job that will make them happier and more fulfilled. Because whatever negativity they're sending down to that employee is obviously a trickle effect of negativity. And so that person probably isn't happy either. So if you, again, do a spell for the highest good of all involved by reversing that negative thinking and healing it with love, George, that will, I'm telling you, it will do it every time, and much more quicker. More quickly and with more zealousness than any negative curse could ever do.
Well, I like that. It's also healthier, isn't it, for the person?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, like you always talk about positive thinking, and you have amazing guests on the show that reiterate that. And it's so important that we stay in that place of love. And that place always is in us by default. And it's our egos and it's societal programming that, you know, filters down into the depths of our soul, the clutter of life. And we really need to get back to the basis of just our essence, which is pure love.
All right, let's go to the phones for you. We've got an hour of phone calls. Let's go to Dana in Grand Rapids, Michigan, on the wildcard line. Hey, Dana, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. You're welcome. Lady Shadow, I want to ask you a question, but I just want to say where I'm coming from first so you understand the question.
Okay.
I'm sure you're well aware. I'm sorry?
Yeah, she's standing
okay.
By.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, okay. I got a little bit of reverb or feedback. Anyway, I understand you use tarot cards, and, you know, you were talking about petals, you know, from flowers and stuff. I'm sure you're aware of, you know, the power of suggestion and also self-fulfilling prophecy. If someone thinks something good or bad will happen, it will. And so I'm sure you're familiar with all these psychological phenomena, because these are common in psychology as well as in sales. But this is what I don't understand. If you're, and this is kind of the question, this is the question. If you talk, because Wiccans do this a lot, they make us all sound, and I'm not trying to be condescending, and you keep saying, I don't judge, I don't judge, I don't judge. There's a difference between judging someone and the power of discernment, knowing right from wrong. And there's nothing wrong with using discernment, because I think this is wrong what you're doing and how Wiccan people who partake in this present it. Like, it's all floral and it's all happy and good. And it's all about God and it's a path to God. If it's a path to God, why the petals? Why cards? Remember that part about God said no false images or anything false before me? Why not go directly to God if that's where you're trying to lead these people? And Wiccan witches are all hunky-dory and everything's love and God is love. So why not pray instead of throwing around rose petals and doing all these rituals? I mean, that's witchcraft is witchcraft, Lady Shadow.
All right, Lady Shadow. I'll let you reply.
No problem. Thank you for your call, Dana. I do appreciate you pointing out everything that you have. We do actually pray. We pray in different ways than maybe a Christian would pray, or you know, somebody who's a Muslim would pray. But essentially, the ritual is because we live in a physical earth and we live in a plane where we are amongst material things. And sometimes for people to connect with a higher power, because not everyone connects in a Catholic church or a Christian church. So we Wiccans connect in other ways. We connect with flowers. We connect with the dirt of the earth. We connect with the rain when it comes down. And believe me, that is all God, all the same. So our appreciation and our love for nature is God. It's all one. It's all together. But the ritual is just something extra. Like when you go to the Catholic church, you take a sacrament. Or you have the incense flowing around to open the chakras and to get you in the mood for worship with the smells and the sounds of the church. It's exactly the same thing. It's a creating a physical environment that opens you up unto your godly self. And however you do it, if it's bringing you joy and fulfillment and making you feel wonderful and it's non-judgmental, then you can't go wrong with it. And it's a very personal path for everyone, religion is. So, you know, what's good for you, what's good for me is as long as we get to the same place, which is a loving, harmonious being, then I don't see anything wrong with that.
Lady Shadow, why,
so thank you.
Why are candles so important in these rituals and these spells and magic?
Well, the candles actually do several things. I have one lit right now, actually. It's emitting a most delicious vibration of smell and energy, actually, and it's very calming to be able to focus on a flame. And fire is one of the elements of the earth. You know, you have the earth, air, fire, and water, which is pertinent to keeping the earth running and the universe in check and in balance. And fire, without fire, you'd have no life. So fire is kind of represents our inner goddess, our passion, our ambitions, our curiosity, and grabbing knowledge where we need to get it, and asking questions, and it brings, like I said, it brings like a focus in. And also different colors of candles vibrate, emit different vibrations. And so the colors will also kind of help with whatever you are working with, whatever energies you're working with.
Okay, now back to the phones we go. We have William in St. Paul, Minnesota, east of the Rockies. William, thank you.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Greetings, Lady Shell. Blessed be.
Hi, William. You too. Merry me.
I hope you understand those two words.
I do.
Okay, good.
She may. I don't. I'm not a witch.
Well, it's a greeting. And it's just
yes, it's a greeting.
I mean,
yeah.
Greetings from Minnesota. I'm a single practitioner and have been for about 30 years. And
great.
You know, the thing is that, you know, most people come to witchcraft with preconceived ideas and stuff, and if they'd learn to divest themselves of that and, you know, work at things that are positive in their life, and it just may help other people's lives to become positive. And, I'm trying to think what else to,
you're absolutely right, William. I really appreciate you, you understanding that and seeing that as well. And, because, you know, we Wiccans we are misunderstood and we come under scrutiny a lot. And whenever I need to explain kind of our path and what it is we do, it does take a little extra time. But, you know, people can feel an energy, and like we can feel your energy, William. And we know that we can tell when someone's coming from a really loving and spiritual and happy place. And I think when they see that in my face and in the vibe I radiate, which is very loving and, you know, gracious, I you know, that kind of disappears once you get to know me after 5 minutes, that we're not the scary folk that everyone thinks we are.
No, you're not. And it's gonna take a PR campaign, though, to convince people. You know that.
I do, and that's why I'm on your show, George, and I'm so thankful that you let me come on and talk about this topic. It's a blessing.
Because you believe in God, would you be called Christians or not?
You know, whatever you want to call yourself, and even if you want to practice witchcraft and believe in Jesus, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There is no book that says, or a higher priestess than I, who reigns over all of the Wiccans in the world, that says you can't have any other religion or other beliefs. And I believe in Jesus. I believe that he was a teacher and an amazing enlightened being. I believe that he is a large part of our history and of our existence here spiritually. But that doesn't mean that I can't appreciate the very things that Jesus made, which is this beautiful earth and all of these elements that we get to experience when we're here. You know, the clouds, the rain, thunderstorms, and, you know, meadows and trees. And these are all God already. So my path does claim science a little bit with your standard kind of Christian belief. But I do identify as a Wiccan, you know, if I need to put a label on it.
All right, back to the calls we go. Thomas is in La Jolla, California. Thomas.
Thank you, George Norrie and Lady Shadow, for taking my call. Lady Shadow, first a quick comment and then a question. Several years ago, I became blind, and it was a blessing. I'm feeling energies around me much more clearly. I don't know how to describe that. I've had a lot of dreams over the last few months of earth energies and white light rituals, etc. I heard your interview tonight, and I'm wondering, for somebody who is blind, do you have resources? Do you do telephone coaching? How can I participate in what you do? And, you know, keep in mind that I am blind.
All right. Lady Shadow, can you help him out?
Oh, thank you so much for your call. Absolutely. Just the fact that he can call in. I'm sure he's a functioning person like the rest of us. And they say when you actually lose one of your senses, that other ones kick in. And he's absolutely right that he's probably getting higher messages of the sixth sense is a little stronger because he's missing one of them. And absolutely, I can. We do offer spiritual life coaching. We offer psychic counseling. I have mentored people, over the phone or through Skype, and so have my coven mates all over the world. For instance, if you couldn't take my course and actually read it physically on the computer screen, which is, you know, on my website. So there are ways, absolutely, to for us to reach out to people of all levels, of whether you're, you know, of all handicaps and whatnot. And if you'd like to email me at info@soulsandspirits.com, I can help him with that.
Well, or have somebody email for him, right?
That's right. Or have someone email. Well, nowadays you can speak all of your everything you do on the internet.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
Yes.
Next up, we have Sylvia in Chatsworth, California. Sylvia, thanks for calling. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Sure.
I do apologize. I'm funny. I got an incoming call. I'm sorry. I actually was calling because I had a question for.
Okay.
I don't know the lady's name.
Just call her lady.
Okay, hello, lady, and George. Okay. The reason I'm calling basically is because you mentioned. I would like to know. Okay, what is witchcraft, indeed. What is it for you to label yourself as a witch, and what, you know, is the meaning of a witch? And also the conjuring. You mentioned conjuring. You kind of make conjuring sound like you're conjuring up daisies and tulips, when in fact I do not think that you can't conjure up an angel, a holy angel of God. So I don't get all of that. And to me, it's just another way of making something dark appealing, and it's not a good thing at all, because of witchcraft has never been good. And there's Glinda the Good Witch was a character in a movie, but at the end of it, the great and wonderful Oz was just some little deceptive situation, a man. So to me, it's more than to me. I know that at the end of this, it's going to be some deception. We can't borrow the, even though it's a picture of when you have pictures of Satan, it's like a pitchfork and a hooded demon. Well, we can't borrow his pitchfork without him wanting to come back and get it. So you will have to eventually pay the piper. I don't care how chipper and cute you sound, it's darkness. It's very dark. I'm not being mean. I'm being very honest.
All right. You're entitled to that, too. Are you trying to trick us,
That's
Lady
right.
Shadow?
No. And you know what? She's totally entitled to her thoughts on this matter. And I'm glad that I'm actually opening a dialogue and making people think about what I'm saying, even if they don't necessarily believe it, because it is about opening a dialogue and remaining in your integrity, whoever you are. And for her to remain in her integrity is great and wonderful to say, hey, I believe it's a dark path and it's not for me. That's okay. For me, it's not a dark path. You asked what a witch actually is, and actually Wicca is a natural, humane appreciation of worship or worship. Rather, I shouldn't even say worship. It's not really a worship, but it's just working with the earth and appreciating things earthly, the universe and the energies in it that we live with every day, and working with those energies in tandem to live a life of balance and harmony. And if I'm not tapping into any of those negative dark forces or negative dark emotions in my work or in my relationship, then that's not where I can be, because dark can't be where light is. Light penetrates the darkness completely. So I don't play with those energies. She asked what a conjurer is. A conjurer is basically, you know, a thought put into action. It's and using, you know, everybody lights candles in their home. Everybody lights incense sometimes. And that technically could be a conjurer for peace of mind when you're stressed out and you want to connect with yourself. So I'm really not conjuring anything. I'm tapping into the goddess within, and I'm tapping into the one source, intelligent source, which we call God, which you call God, George, and using that energy to get what I want and what I need to make a happy, harmonious life for myself and the people that are around me.
All right, let's try Casey now in Worcester, Massachusetts. Casey, you are up. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Casey.
I actually do have a few questions for Lady Shadow.
Okay.
All right. How do you feel about the difference from tools to your, like, using yourself as a tool?
Explain.
Okay.
Explain that.
Sure.
Just a little bit more.
I've read books on, I am a new practitioner of Wicca, and I've read different things about using tools, and I read things about using just your mind. Okay. And I just want to know what your beliefs are on that.
Sure. Thank you, Casey.
Go ahead, Ms. Shadow.
Well, basically, you are a tool. Everyone in a body is a walking tool, technically, for whatever they want to use their body as whatever purpose they want. And obviously, most of us go, okay, I want to live in a happy, peaceful existence, and I want to work a job that I love, and I want to, you know, fall in love with someone and make a family. So, technically, we are a tool. It all starts with us. It starts with our mind and our heart and our energy. And if you're a practitioner solo and you don't want to burn incense and you don't want to light candles and do all that great stuff that go out in the rain and dance around and appreciate nature, you don't have to. You can totally use yourself and your mind and your thoughts. And that's what meditation is, technically, is that connecting with the one source through meditation so that we can attain the things that we want in this life. So absolutely.
And Casey, you had another question, but we're at the break, so I'm just going to hold you over. We'll be back with you and final phone calls with Lady Shadow, the High Priestess, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast with Lady Shadow, the Wiccan High Priestess. And let's go back to Casey in Worcester, Massachusetts. Casey, you had another question, and I wanted you to get that in.
Oh, yes. While spellcasting, you have to create a, you know, circle of protection to protect yourself from different things, such as, you know, bad entities or negative energies, or just in everyday life. Like, I carry a charm to protect myself in every day. But how would you recommend protecting yourself through spellcasting?
How do you protect yourself that way, Lady Shadow?
Sure. Well, like I mentioned earlier, we don't believe in a devil or Satan. We do believe, however, that there are negative energies. For instance, if I'm riding the subway and I'm feeling a vibe coming off of somebody that feels negative, naturally I can pick that up and I know, okay, I'm sensing a little danger, something's off here. And so that kind of protection, of course, warrants, like, as Casey mentioned, something in the form of, well, first of all, being aware of your surroundings. But secondly, as far as witchcraft is concerned, generally, if I'm doing a spell, I'm doing it, again, in light and love, and I'm using very benign tools that people use every day, like I said, candles and incense. So I would cast, actually, a circle around me, and that could be actually with physical salt, or it could just be, drawing a circle around yourself mentally. You can do it with your finger, you can do it with a wand, whatever it is. But the circle is really just, again, mental intention, picturing yourself protected, the same way you would if you're getting in a car and you're driving somewhere and you're saying, okay, please protect my car in the light from other drivers hurting me and from me hurting other people, and let's just have a safe drive wherever we're going, and picturing the white light. So technically, in spell casting, the circle is a white light, and it does act as protection. And like Casey said, you can also carry something. And of course, using your own intuition and always being in touch with who you are and what's around you is really the ultimate protection. Just being smart about yourself.
Very good. All right, let's go to Bill, west of the Rockies in Snowflake, Arizona. Bill, welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, George. Sure. A quick comment, something for you there. If this solar flare is going to be so big and it'll affect humans pretty good, will it affect our weather? Maybe you could find that out. You know, what does it supercharge the atmosphere?
Well, it may not matter if it's that big and gets us all, you know?
That's true. Well, I'm just thinking for, the rest of the, the animal life at least. Hopefully something in
whatever's
a cave can
left.
Survive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And then for Lady Shadow, isn't, I've talked to a whole bunch of people, and I'm sure I'm pretty ignorant on it, but isn't the sexual energies part, a big part of the Wiccan toolkit?
Okay, that's fair. No one has asked that question yet. So, sexual energy is no more or no less any part of what I do than any other healthy sexual being. So, no, I don't do any crazy stuff just because I'm Wiccan, and I don't justify any of my behaviors because I'm Wiccan. So, no, not particularly, but there are groups of people and there are solo practitioners that may partake in different kinds of sexual behavior. That wouldn't necessarily be anything that happens in my coven. I can say that, we all are very open about, our sexual health. And it's something that's personal to everyone. And it's no different because I'm Wicca, no.
You're a great spokesperson for Wicca, though, lady. You really
thank
are.
You so much, George. And you're a great spokesperson for Coast, I tell you.
For the world. Let's go to William in Bloomington, Illinois on the wild card line. William, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, George. And
morning.
Good morning, Lady Shadow. I'm a Wiccan. I've
been
for over 15, 19 years. But the thing is, I think a lot of people are getting a misconception, before what I heard. A Wiccan deals with nature. They're one with nature and the universe. You know, they worship the trees, they worship the grass, they worship the water, the stones. My favorite moon goddess is what I'm very close to, the full moon, and I've always basically praised the moon due to the fact of the shadow and whatever. But my question to you is, do you have a certain element of this planet that is drawn to you of what you practice with? But one final thing I want to clarify of this woman that basically stated about, the creator and never loving whatever, maybe she should read the Old Testament. I mean, he can get pretty wicked when he wants to, as far as that goes. I mean, we've made this thing rosy, but we do have a creator, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't put his wrath on somebody if, he really wants to, or the creator wants to. But I'll listen to your answer off the air. And George, and Lady Shadow, I'm very glad that you're on tonight. This clarifies a lot of things and a lot of dispels a lot of myths that they have about people as far as practicing this religion, so to speak.
Sure does. Go ahead, lady.
Oh, thank you so much. I do appreciate the balance of calls, you know, that someone out there, you know, identifies with what I'm talking about and the ritual and the appreciating of nature, which is exactly what he said. You know, it's everything universal. It's not just our physical world, though. It, you know, the worship of a Wiccan, it goes much further than that. It's not just the air and the earth and the trees. It is the creator of all that. And again, everyone's going to call that a different name. For me, it's the goddess. And I do also take much from our goddess, the moon. And the thunderstorms are really my giant pull. Like we're about to get some tonight and tomorrow, George, here in New York, and I'm very excited. I harness a lot of joy and energy from thunderstorms. They're just, they're nature's most powerful element, and they're just amazing. And so when one comes around, I take it all in.
Well, just watch out for the lightning.
That's right. I am very careful. I honor nature. I absolutely honor with her with lots of reverence, for sure.
Do full moons, blue moons, super moons, do they affect you at all?
Well, they affect everyone, you know, as the tide would. You know, they say the pull of the tides affects us because we're made up of water. You know, our blood is mostly water. Our brains are a large amount of water. So naturally, if the moon is full, sometimes we are a little bit more open, or creative ideas tend to haunt our souls a little bit. I know I get more artistic around the full moon, and I get excited about you know, fulfilling goals and dreams that I have. And so I use the moon for good, as with I do all of the elements that I, you know, that I connect with. And yeah, I would say that the moon plays a large part in, you know, just like the oceans would play a large part in someone who loves the ocean. You know, it's kind of the same thing.
Now, how long did it take you to become a high priestess? Does it take months, years? How long?
Well, I started learning about Wicca on my own. Like, so I'm sure there are lots of solo practitioners tonight listening that haven't even ever even joined, or rather even been able to hang out with other mates, Wiccans, or join a circle with other people, and they've just spent their whole life as a solo. For me, I started out that way, and it was great, but I'm a very social person, and I'm an organizer, and I'm a doer, and I'm very ambitious, and I'm a creator. So after a few years of being solo, I thought, wouldn't it be more fun and more, you know, there's more, you know, there's power in numbers, and to kind of connect with other people of the same faith, and we could work together and bring enlightenment to each other and be there when someone is sick or someone needs a healing or someone needs a little uplifting from a rough situation. So I kind of started branching off and finding fellow Wiccans, and believe it or not, there's quite a few here in New York City. And as we connected together, we became really close friends, and we're a really tight group of people that really help each other. And of course, go out into the community, like going on your show and helping educate and enlighten people about the path, and that it is not this scary, scary place that everyone thinks it is.
Let's go to Bobby, Hot Springs, Arkansas, first time caller. Bobby, you are up with us. Go ahead.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call. Sure. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you.
Lady Shadow, I'm curious if you believe in Lilith, Adam's first wife, and also I heard you say you like pagan holidays. Which one of those are important to you? And I'll just take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what the first part of the question was. I couldn't understand what he asked before the Halloween question, but I can say that Halloween, which is Samhain, which is how I pronounce it, is my absolute favorite holiday, not because it's dark and scary and I get to dress up in fun costumes, but it's kind of just my rebirthing, my new year, where I put together everything for the winter, and I kind of do my goals, and I connect with that, you know, that energy of was it the veil is the lowest at that time of the fall, so that the spirit worlds and the physical worlds kind of collide, and we can really get in touch with our higher selves.
And, you know, I think he was talking about someone, Lilith, from the biblical term, L-I-L-I-T-H.
You know, oh, okay, yes. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear that. Yeah. I have read the Bible, actually. I read it early in the 90s when I was studying religions before I kind of landed on Wicca. And I find the Bible a beautiful piece of literature, and there's a lot of wonderful things in there. And there are pieces of God in there, and there are pieces of man in there, and there's a little bit of everything. And I enjoyed the journey of reading the Bible, but it's certainly not the one and only book and one and only way to kind of connect with God. A lot of people connect outside of the Bible and live wonderful, harmonious, peaceful lives. And like I said, the equivalent to what someone would think of as the Bible, as the Word of God, would be for me a thunderstorm or the beauty of nature that is God, and it's all one. And so as far as biblical relationships, connecting with any particular person other than Jesus, probably not. But I do connect with the fellow man that wrote it. And I think it's beautiful that that the literature, that it came about, and it's enlightened and helped and guided a lot of people over the years.
See, so the Lilith legend has to do with Jewish folklore, and it claims that she was Adam, you know, Mr. Number One, Adam's first wife, not Eve. So
interesting.
I don't
that's a section that I've kind of forgotten about. So I particularly I really practice metaphysical Wicca, which is less of the traditional stuff and more into the new age. And so I don't kind of get hung up too much on the old ancient scripts of where, the practice came from.
All right, let's go to CJ in Rochester, New York, east of the Rockies. Hi, CJ.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Sorry, bear with me. I'm a little nervous here. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
You actually spoke with my father. Our whole family listens to you, so.
Oh, super.
You're like one of my heroes. But I'm actually a second degree Wiccan. I started out solitary myself because you don't go out. It's hard to find people, and then I found a coven that, and I took courses and I got my degree. But I wanted to give an example too. Not everybody that's like a witch or a Wiccan is attracted because, they go on a bad website and they want to be a Wiccan. How I was drawn to it is I was at a friend's house, and I just happened to open this book, and it was like it had reincarnation, and it explained everything. It was The Witch's Bible by Stuart and Janet Farrell, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, I have one question too for
sure. Go ahead.
What's her name?
Lady Shadow.
Lady Shadow. Hi, Lady Shadow. I go by Snow Wolf. But I was just wondering, I'm eclectic. I'm one of the ones that I'm Methodist and I'm a Wiccan, but I was wondering, you kind of just answered it, you don't follow a certain tradition like Celtic or Egyptian or any of that.
What do you follow, Lady Shadow?
Yes, correct. The difference between metaphysical Wicca and traditional Wicca would be the deities, honoring the deities, and really the ancient texts, and following maybe Gerald Gardner's writings and his books, and how to kind of run a coven. I'm more metaphysical. So, and the thing is with the Wiccan path, I call it the do-it-yourself non-religion religion. Because it really is all about what you want to take from it, what you want to create with it. And it's not really a religion per se. It's more of a spiritual path. And because we don't have any organizers, we don't have any ties, we don't have sacrificial acts or baptisms, it is really left for interpretation via the individual. So for me, I'm a big law of attraction, New Ager, so I just love working with kind of the New Age thought and the more modern practices, you know, the mind and body kind of correlation thing.
Do take a moment before we try to squeeze in another call or two. Give us your website.
Yes, it's soulsandspirits.com, and it's just how it's spelled, S-O-U-L-S. ANDSPIRITS.com. And there's all kinds of goodies on there. And you can email me and check out what I got on there. And, you know, would love to hear from everybody.
And how many people do you think are practicing Wicca now in the United States or in North America? Canadians do it too.
That's true. Well, I can tell you that a majority of the people that purchase my course are actually from the UK. They're from Scotland and, you know, the England area,
really?
Which is pretty fascinating.
Primarily?
Yes.
Primarily? Huh. Why would that
be? Yes, they're primarily over there. You know, there is a big movement, maybe from the Harry Potter movies, you know, being originated and, you know, the whole situation. I don't know. But it's Europe seems to be a little more progressive, even though they're more traditional in their religion. Sometimes they're a step ahead of us sometimes with you know, where they want to go, their culture and, you know, the, you know, trends and that kind of thing. So that may be part of it. But I really don't know the percentage because so many of us are underground still. You know, some of us are really afraid of the scrutiny that that we will face when we openly kind of let people know what we do. And as you can hear, I'm faced with it tonight with callers, and that's why I'm here, to help answer questions.
Absolutely.
And bridge the gap.
All right, Lady Shadow, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it. Up next, 2 hours of open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And if you haven't cast your vote yet in our poll, should we allow the American Ebola patients into the country, those two unfortunate people, go up there and give us your thoughts because I want to talk about that too. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.